Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and howdy, this is Rob Rourke of Texas. Just want to say I'm back. Hey, well, it's another rehash Saturday. We're going to talk about some things that we talked about over the week. Even bring up a little bit of interesting news. Well, let's start off this way. Doug Peterson had his kickoff to his campaign for city council district at large position 3. And I just want to say, Doug, I wish you all the luck in the world. I will support you. So, and another thing we need to talk about is this. It would give a free say-so on this, which doesn't make it. I'm sorry. This is one of the reasons why I'm running for office. Prospects of another shutdown grows. This is a headline off of MSN. The prospect of a second government shutdown in 2 years is growing as House conservatives pledge to oppose any funding measure that includes money for Planned Parenthood. Well, I'm sorry. I think this time I have to agree with them. I'm a pro-life Democrat. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm Irish Catholic. And the church says this is a no-no. Does it mean I also do not support the president? On this, I don't. But you see, that's the reason why the Constitution said, I mean, this is a great example of what the Constitution means. We have the right to freedom of speech. And I do not support the idea of abortion. The way it is right now, I don't support it. I think its best place is back in the hospital as a medical procedure. And as far as Planned Parenthood, I'm sorry. Those videotapes, I have not seen them. I've heard what I've heard in the news, and maybe I'm a little biased because of it. But quite frankly, if they're selling body parts for fees to organizations and bragging about it, I got a little problem. And I think you all would too, period. You don't have to be conservative. You don't have to be liberal. You don't have to be Republican or Democrat. You're an American. And that sounds, frankly, very disgusting, very sickening. You know, it's just, and to see this used as a means of shutting down the government or much as keeping it open or trying not to keep it open. Is this a political ploy? Yeah, it is. That's all it is. Now, this is what gets me is, and I've said it before, it's not that I'm disagreeing with the president, and I'm not agreeing with him. I'm just telling you where I stand. On abortion in general, I say, I'm not for it. I'm being honest. I'm not for it. But on the same instance, I'd say to shut down the government over something as vile as what Planned Parenthood did, the videotapes are supposed to have shown, that is a problem. I have a problem with that. But the main thing I have a problem with is this linkage between one side of the political aisle and the other, pointing fingers and saying, it's not my fault, it's theirs. Here's a great example. Senate Majority Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, has been leading a Republican opponent of demands to link an end to Planned Parenthood funding with the government funding measure. On Friday, in an interview with Politico, he sent a signal that Senate Republicans would have enough calling linkage an exercise in futility with the President Obama in the White House. I'm anxious to defund Planned Parenthood, McConnell said, before adding, the honest answer is not that, The honest answer of that is that's not going to happen until you have a president who has a similar view. Okay, that's kind of fighting words, too. Ted Cruz is the only Republican in the upper chamber loudly calling for a showdown on the spending bill over Planned Parenthood, which has been targeted fiercely after release of several undercover videos showing officials discussing the sale of fetal tissue. Folks, that I agree. I mean, that part I agree. But the idea to make this, you know, use that as an example of why they're shutting down the government. You know, again, you can be Republican, you can be Democrat. The idea is this is an issue that needs to be looked at in a separate light, not as a means of shutting down the government. If we don't have it, if you don't defund it, we'll see this government shut down. Oh, come on. Give the people of this country a break, Washington. We need to, a government's going to stop pointing fingers of blame on either side and start actually doing something. Yes, it is disgusting to talk about the sale of fetal tissue and the way that it's been reported in the news. That is disgusting. But what's sad is it sells papers. That should not be a reason to shut down the government. That should be discussed in a rational sense, a reasonable sense. Not in saying, there's your fault, we're going to have to shut down the government because of them. And they're going to say, no, let them shut down the government and let them see who's at fault. Folks, I think we can all agree these are symptoms of what's wrong with Washington. These are symptoms, folks. The problem is Washington is engulfed in this symptomology, this illness of saying my way or the highway. You know, I had a coworker who said that if he was ever elected president, he'd run this country by way of tough love. I said, okay, describe how you would do it. I'm still waiting. Yeah, tough love. How would you deal with Planned Parenthood? Is it tough love to say, we're not going to vote for it? If you don't cut it out, we'll shut down the government. Is that tough love? Where's your alternative, Republicans? Where's, you know, the idea of debating issues comes from the idea of exchanging ideas. And to say, we're not going to pass, we'll shut the government down if Planned Parenthood is defunded. You give no alternatives, no way of responding. And that's not helpful to an American American citizenship who are looking at the idea of how ridiculous you all are acting, how childish and immature you all are acting. So enough about my commentary. Well, this past week we talked about education and we talked about immigration, and I believe we also talked about the children of divorce. We'll hit on at least two of those in the next 20 minutes. Pardon me, I apologize. As far as immigration, right now, you know, the kickoff for the primary season for Congress, and especially District 22, is coming up real soon. And so myself and my opposition, and even Pete Olson, that is, if he doesn't know how to vote as far as how the people think. Yes, I'm sorry, I made the snide remark, and I apologize. Factual, but I apologize. We, as candidates, are trying to set our positions as we make an argument for your vote and your support and your vote. To me, the first thing is education. We need to remove the government outreach, or at least limit it severely, out of the classroom. And when I say that, what I have found out in the past couple of weeks, and I've adapted to our plan, is that originally education was part of health, education, and welfare. And thanks to the Carter administration, it became a separate cabinet position. Well, Mr. Carter, since you and every president between you and Mr. Obama, we have had several pieces or agendas that have passed through Congress. All we've had, for the most part, has been titles of ideas, but no idea of substance. We still have parts of No Child Left Behind in play. But yet it's also being entangled with Race to the Front, if I remember correctly, and Common Core, which are both as problematic as Republican ideas of a voucher system. What we need is a single framework of education. And we need to have the department, the DOE, the Department of Education, back under the umbrella of Health and Human Services, and revising the initials HEW, Health, Education, and Welfare. And when I talk about a single framework, it's a set of standards that can be passed on to the states and given, let the states have more responsibility toward education. Cut bureaucracy and remove the government outreach from the classrooms and allow the teachers to actually do something they're trained for, teach. We can also pass on achievement testing that works. Instead of hearing anyone who can tell you they are not teaching the test is either a liar or a PE teacher, coming from probably a former high school teacher in the Fort Bend ISD, and that was dated March 1st, 2012, in an article by Lisa Falkenberg of the Houston Chronicle. The point is, we want to have our students learn. And it's too easy for them to, I'm not saying computers aren't, technology shouldn't be in the classroom, but let's put it where it can be used properly and not abused. I remember growing up, going K through 12, and I didn't touch a calculator until I got into high school. I memorized my multiplication and division tables. Now, it's so easy for a kid to grab a calculator and figure out what's 9 times 7. Or much less if you look at Common Core, they're actually writing the formulas out in many ways, which is a bit too much in my opinion, but that's secondary. But the idea is we need to find ways to get the child or the children to learn. To let them figure it out for themselves. And that's probably the only part of Common Core I agree. Let them work it out. Well, the way they're instructed on working it out is takes up more paperwork than it is and makes it seem less efficient. And I think in the long run, maybe the answer could get lost in the, for lack of a better description, lost in the paperwork itself. But the point is, we need to do something better. So let's talk about achievement testing. Let's talk about it instead of every year and the kids thinking of it as a week of vacation or whatever the rumor mill may have it. Why don't we stagger it every 4 years? So as they're going K through 12, fourth grade, they're about to be entering middle school soon. Eighth grade, when they're about to be entering high school. And their senior year, when they're about to graduate and hopefully go off to college and actually learn something so they can move out. The point is, we want our kids to learn. We want our kids to be challenged. And we can let the teachers teach. And that's what my plan calls for, letting the teachers teach, taking the government overreach out of the classroom. And on another note, let's talk about, when we talk about our children and their future, what about those children of divorce? 24.7 million children are being raised without love and support of both parents. I grew up not knowing my father. I have a daughter. Well, I was put in a position of giving up my parental rights, so was my ex-wife. It's not that I was a bad parent. I jumped through every hoop they asked. I was asked questions which I wouldn't even discuss in depth in a mixed crowd. And then wondered why. Do you have intimate relations with a person? I don't even go out. I don't even date. Why don't you date? I'm making an hourly wage, folks. I can, you know, like I told my daughter when I first worked, was first employed with Kroger's, I was making the minimum wage and barely scraping by. She asked me, Dad, how much are you making? And I said, enough to pay for put a down payment on a small roast. Yeah, ha ha. But on the same instance, that's what I'm looking at. Now, in my salary, I could finish paying for that roast. But the point is, I can't afford to date. I can't afford to be. I mean, if I was lucky enough to find someone else, I would be jumping through hoops to keep her. Then we're talking about intimacy, being responsible. We also need to talk about there is AIDS. I said that, and these people did not understand that. What was even worse is the fact that she was offered the same hoops to jump through. And she said no. And they didn't follow up. Now, if someone can tell me how fair that is, I'll listen. I will listen to you. I will hear everything you have to say. Will it change my mind? I don't know. Will I change yours? I don't know that either. But the point is, I'm willing to debate that. I'm willing to go and say, let's talk. Let's talk about this. And if anyone out there, we've got about 10 minutes left, wants to debate that idea, I can cite, I've got references from the Washington Times dated Christmas Day 2012, the Daily Mail from the United Kingdom dated the day after Christmas 2012, 2009, the Census Bureau, and 2006 to 2010, Dad Stats, the Department, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Now, I look at this saying, we in this problem, you know, the courts are like saying, Okay, in the best interest, well, it happens to be who can one-up the other parent. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at what's in the best interest of the children. And the best interest of the children is to have both parents in their lives. Yes, the states are moving towards that, but ever so slowly. And when elected, I will promise that I will introduce legislation that will remind the states. Because, and I'll cite this, in Title 4D of the Social Security Act, there is a space that there's a response, there's a point of reference there that talks about the standard deduction for child support payments on your income tax for the custodial parent is $3,950. Okay. Now, I'm going to say it this way. That's what I was told, and as far as I'm concerned, it's not etched in stone. But the point is, whatever the standard deduction is, I think I'm going to introduce legislation that says both sides get equal to 50% of that, which comes out to, if it is $3,950, it's $1,975 tax deduction for both sides. Not one versus the other, but both. You know, there are dads out there that want to stay in their children's lives and are doing everything they can. And then, of course, there are deadbeats. And we are different from deadbeats. I write my daughter at least twice a month, and sometimes more. I wish she would answer. And I'm hoping maybe she's listening to this show. Shortcake, if you're out there, give me a holler. Just say hello, even. That number here, folks, it's 718-664-9825. You know, folks, I'm running for Congress. I'm running for Congress because I want to achieve something. When I came back to Texas, I felt like a dog with my tail between my legs. Educated myself as to advocating for an Equal Parental Rights Act. this past legislative session, I was asked to give testimony before the committee hearing House Bill 2363, which was an Equal Parental Rights Act. And I gave testimony. I want to believe that my testimony was a contributing factor to the fact that it was passed. And I don't care whether the person was, I care less the person that introduced it, and I just am drawing a blank on his name, whether he was Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal. It was the bill that mattered. It was the bill that mattered. If we can make changes at the federal level that may hint or suggest to the states they need to make changes, and one way is to cut the taxes, instead of one versus the other, it's both equal share, equal equality for both. That's all we are looking at, as a means of taking that first step towards staying in the lives of our children. That's all we want. And that's why I'm campaigning to make a statement, achieve a goal, and help further the future of this country. Because we want a better America for our children, that next generation. And we want our children to be as smart as they can be the best ones they can be. But we're not going to get that way if all we do is point a finger. All our leaders do are point fingers across the political aisle and say, it's not my fault. There is a difference, folks. You know, you can say, well, it's Obama's fault. And there are others who can say it's Congress's fault. Well, guess what? It's both. It's both. You know, I remember I'm on LinkedIn. I'm in some of their political discussion groups. And there was a discussion about President Obama's use of executive orders. And there was a young African-American woman who came out and said as to the overuse of executive orders by Obama, you wouldn't say that if he was black. Well, she got rid of the Riot Act. And did she deserve it? Yes, she did. And here's the funny thing. I actually came out and defended her. I told her, I said, I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to accuse anyone how someone reacts to something based on the color of their skin. Our Constitution says we have the right to freedom of speech. The Congress, both Obama and the Congress, are part of the symptomology of what's wrong with Washington. That's the truth, folks. I mean, if you think about it, Republican Congress is going, it's not our fault, it's the president's. If the White House would just pay attention. I mean, let's go back to, Let's go back to Mitch McConnell. I'm anxious to defund Planned Parenthood, said McConnell said before adding that the honest answer to that is that's not going to happen until you have a president who has a similar view. A friend of mine said it was Obama's fault. Well, I'm going to be honest with you both. It's both sides. They just want to one-up each other. And that's not kind of... That's not getting our government anywhere. We have challenges, and we need to meet them, but we need to meet them on a level field and people willing to want to talk, willing to talk and debate on the ideas, not say, if they don't, we won't. We will shut everything down. That's not right. And that, you know, again, getting to this campaign I'm in, I'm trying to set my argument for your support. And if you do agree, please send that support my way. It's more than welcome. And you can email me at rob@robrourke.us. It's R-O-B-B. Thank you. It's R-O-B-B at rob, R-O-B-B, R-O-U-R-K-E.us. And let's shoot me an email and tell me what you think. So I want to hear your opinion. That's what the show's all matters most about. What is your opinion? And we can discuss that. Not be discussing, but we can discuss your ideas. And, yes, with a minute to go, I'm going to start having to sign off now, folks. But I want to say to a little lady in Commonwealth, Virginia, Shortcake. Papa Rob still loves you very much, misses you very, very much. And I will always fight for what I believe is right by you. And everyone else out there, it's a beautiful day outside. I've already been out on the bat cycle, and I'm going to go back for another ride. But, hey, the point is, have a good day. Enjoy the day, and have a good Saturday night. I will check you all later. Check on Facebook for listings. And so I will say, hasta la vista, folks. Bye.